want us to come to God's Word. We're in Hebrews 11 this morning. Yes, Hebrews 11, 1 again. But we are in Hebrews 11, reading Hebrews 11, 1 through 3. Actually, I want to begin in Hebrews 10, 39, because it really bridges the gap of what we are beginning, which is the very practical section of how we apply the supremacy of Christ to our lives. So if you will turn there, I will pray, and we will consider God's holy, inerrant, infallible, and trustworthy Word this morning. Holy Father, we thank You for the privilege that is ours to come into Your presence this day, the privilege that is ours to open Your Word to us. And we pray, Father, that You would show us the supremacy of Christ, that You would show us the sufficiency of Your Word, and that You would conform and confront our hearts with the truths of the gospel. Father, we long to be a people who would walk by faith as the saints of old, but we are weary, Lord. Father, we desire to be people that would please You in this gospel life, but we often fail. Father, we desire that we might hold before the world a testimony of being a people of faith, but we fail so often. Encourage and strengthen our hearts by Your Word, that we may see the power of Your grace, and that we might embrace with persevering faith the life You have given us in Christ Jesus. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 39. But we are not those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and persevere their souls. What is faith? Faith. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Faith. God calls us, God calls you this morning to be a by faith people. God calls us this morning to live by faith. Now, it's amazing in our culture, everyone is clamoring for your belief. In one sense, that's what advertisement is, right? I want you to believe in my product. I want you to believe in what I say. Even much of what passes for science in our day is really an invitation to faith. Much which passes for philosophy today is really a call to faith. Much which passes for religion today is a call to faith. We cannot escape the fact that we are a people that must live by faith. The author of Hebrews wants you to be a by faith person. He wants you to live by faith, but he wants you to live with a very particular faith. All men live with faith, but it is the Christian who lives by faith in the work of Christ and in the precious remedy for our soul, Christ Jesus Himself, that is able to persevere to the end in what God calls the gospel life. Was Steve Martin in a monologue comic sketch at one point who said, "There's nothing to believe in these days. There's no reason to believe." And for several minutes he went on in that comic deadpan way of telling why there was nothing to believe in. Until he came to his punchline at the end of his little monologue, he said, "As a matter of fact, I would give up belief and faith altogether if it wasn't for my special, lucky astrology mood watch." If you watch people close enough, even those who would deny faith, you will find that there is always something that they come back to putting their faith in. It is impossible not to believe in something. And yet the object of what you believe in is all important. The author of the book of Hebrews wants you to have an anchored faith so that in life it can be a demonstrated faith. It must be anchored to the person and work of Christ so that you can live by faith amidst the trials and the joys and the triumphs and the tragedies that will come in this life. Persevering faith is, first of all, anchored so that it may be demonstrated. It is anchored to the person and work of God so that it may be demonstrated in the life that God has ordained and organized for you. By faith, the people of old were called to walk after God. By faith, much the same, even though we live after Christ, even though we live in light of the wonder of the kingdom of Christ amidst us, in the midst of the wonder of the kingdom of Christ to come, we must live by faith. One day our faith will be turned to sight when we are in His very presence and rejoice with Him at the wedding supper of the Lamb, all the goodness of God. But now you must live by faith. You heard it enough times yet? How are you to live? By faith. Now, you might think me repetitious, and that's okay. There are first things, and I will be repetitious about first things. That's the call of a minister, to be repetitious about the things that are important in the gospel. And faith certainly is cardinal in the gospel. But I am only being repetitious this morning because our author is repetitious. If you look at Hebrews 11, the thing that marks out Hebrews 11 21 times is that the people of old lived how? By faith. The people of old lived how? By faith. And what is that a call for us to do? It's a call for us to live by faith. A call for us to be anchored in the work of God so that we may demonstrate faith in life. Faith received so that faith may be shown in the life that we live before God. We are called to be a by faith people. If we are going to please God, be commended in God's presence, it will only be as we live by faith. Now let us consider the text a little bit this morning. Each verse and a point. Let's consider our text this morning. Now, first of all, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things seen, not seen. Our faith, first I want you to see, must be anchored in Christ. What is the author driving at here in verse 1? That we are to have a faith that is anchored in Christ. You might say, wait, I don't see Jesus mentioned at all in that verse. Y'all see Jesus mentioned in that verse? Look a little closer. Look a little closer. Notice there. Now faith. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. What has the author built his argument on? What is it that we are to hope for? What was this church of Hebrew Christians, what were they to hope for? Life to continue with who? In heaven with who? The wonder of life. What's the assurance of things hoped for? What's the foundational belief of the Christian life? What are we longing for? Life in its fullness with Christ. You see, I can say that with great confidence because all I have to do is ask you to go back again and read the first 10 chapters of Hebrews. And who is the champion of the book of Hebrews? It is Jesus Christ. Again and again and again, the author wants us to get the beauty of the supremacy of Jesus. And once and only then, only when you have a wonder at the beauty of the supremacy of Jesus, does He turn to you and tell you how to live. Live by faith. Now, faith is the assurance of the things hoped for, the assurance of the gift of God. That word there, which we studied the last time we were in the book of Hebrews, hypostasis, that word there for assurance, is a word that means of firm foundation, of solid ground, that which bears weight. What bears the weight of our confidence? Jesus Christ. Which gives us conviction to trust, right? The anchor of our faith is anchored fast to Jesus. He is the thing that holds us so that we may have conviction or the evidence of things not seen. Why? Why would we hold fast to Christ? Because holding fast to Christ is the wonder and the beauty of this life. And sometimes that is difficult. But the saints of old would commend to you this morning Jesus. For as they held to the gospel of God, which is fulfilled in the work and person of Jesus. The wonder of that is laid before you. What they have now, they would commend to you to hold fast. Find your anchor this morning in Jesus. He is our confidence. He is our conviction. Why confidence? Because faith is only good as the object it holds to, right? When you're in the trying times of life, is there not times and moments in life when you just can't quite, where you can't quite see through the storm, the rain, the difficulty that is before you? When your moorings are shaking and you wonder what's going to happen, isn't it difficult then? You know, it's what you're bound to that matters at that point, right? In life, what you're bound to, what your faith holds to matters, because if what your faith holds to crumbles, who else crumbles? You crumble along with it. You see, here's the truth of the gospel in telling us to hold fast to Christ, to persevere. We are not of those, he said in verse 39, chapter 10, we are not of those who what? Shrink back. That's why when he comes to faith, he's speaking not of the whole constellation of biblical faith, but particularly of persevering faith here. He's wanting you to remember the confidence that is instilled in the one who remembers in the perfect presiding work of Jesus. When we hold fast to that, life may not always be easy, but we have a rock. Right, Andy? We have a rock by which we must stand upon. We may be drawn out of our own self-pity, our own self-interest, our own inner turmoil to a God who deals with that turmoil. You see, a by-faith life necessitates resolve. A young Chinaman several years ago was traveling to the United States because he desired to study in the university. He had his life had experienced the gospel because missionaries had brought the gospel to his country. And on his way here on a boat, he was riding on the boat. And as he was sitting in his seat out in an open area on the ship, he was reading the Bible. A man, an American, who saw him reading the Bible, walked up to him and said, "What are you reading there?" He said, "Well, I'm reading the Bible." And the man said a number of disparaging things about the Scriptures, about why they couldn't be trusted, about why they were unimportant. And yet he said, but in saying all that, I do not want to disturb your faith in Christ. To which the young Chinese student coming to America said, "Oh, sir, if you could disturb my faith in Christ, he would not be a big enough Savior." You see, our faith is to be anchored to Christ because we need something that is larger than we are to hold us fast. And the sure and certain rock of our salvation is the Savior, Christ Jesus. But that necessitates resolve. Faith necessitates and is expressed in resolve. You see, we all have some self-definition of our experience, our life, right? Something that makes us who we are, right? Ryan is what? He is the RUF pastor at Texas A&M University, right? Lynn is what? He is the owner of the greenery, right? Andrew is what? Well, this morning he was the chief musician, right, before us. He's the rep. We'll just call him the rep. You can ask him what he reps later, okay? You know, we all have certain things that define us. What defines you this morning? What do you hold fast to? In faith, we are to be anchored in Christ. Our resolve must to be continue with Christ, the Christ who has gripped us. We are to grip closely. We are to hold fast in union and communion with the Savior. Faith means resolve. Faith means holding fast. It means perseverance. It means clinging and humble dependence upon Jesus. It is possible this morning to be near the people of Christ and avoiding Christ altogether. It may surprise you, but I can tell you of many who sit in churches on Sunday morning who are near the people of Christ, avoiding Christ all along. There may be something there they like, something they enjoy, something that they are attached to be attached to a community and not to Christ, though. It's a perilous position. You see, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. It is the substance, the evidence, the conviction of things not seen. And what do we hold fast to? It's to Christ. Our resolve must be to hold fast to Christ. We are the ones, we are to be the ones, as Jesus spoke to Thomas. You remember when Jesus spoke to Thomas after He had resurrected, when Thomas had doubted. When Thomas had doubted the very resurrection of Jesus, he comes into the presence of Jesus and Jesus shows him the scars in his wrists, in his side, in his feet. And what does Thomas proclaim? My Lord and my God. And interestingly, what is Jesus' response to Thomas? You believe because you have seen. Blessed are those who do not see and yet believe. We are of that kind. We have this assurance because Scripture gives it, because God's witness testifies to it in the Spirit. But we have not seen the living Christ with our own eyes yet, have we? But don't you long for that? Isn't that your hope? Isn't that your gospel promise and your gospel hope? You see, faith for all of us will fall into one category or another. We must resolve to live by faith. But either, as you are hearing the verse this morning, it is either an indictment, an indication, or an investment that you are making. It is an indictment. If you have no faith in Christ, all hopes are false hopes. If you have no faith in Christ this day, all hopes are false hopes. It comes as an indictment for those who do not believe. But it also comes to a call. Maybe you're in a different situation. Maybe it's an indication of your heart. You say, "That Lord, that's where I want to be. But I have a heart. I have a shaky hope." It's probably because you have a shaky faith, right? Faith and hope in the gospel are intricately woven together. It may be an indication of a shaky faith. Find your anchor deeply set in the person and work of Christ. Why? Because faith is an investment. By faith, the people of old conquered as they rested, what? In God, in the work of God. And all that He did in the Old Testament was a prefigurement of the work of Christ. Rest, beloved, in Christ. You see, our faith, if we are to be a by faith people, we must live by faith. We must rejoice in Christ. You see, before you every day, there are by faith opportunities. When you walk into your next appointment tomorrow, or your next class, or when you preside over your next meeting, there will be by faith moments. Will you do what's expedient, or will you follow the way of the Lord? There are by faith moments for all of us, and we must resolve each day to live by faith. The easy way is not always the by faith way, is it? The easy path is not necessarily the path that God desires for us. And so we must resolve to live by faith, whether it's in our community or in our home or in our church. We are called to live by faith. So one of the questions you have to walk away with today is, where is my life in conjunction to true faith in Christ? If my faith is really cemented to the work of Christ, then I have the conviction of things not seen. I have the assurance of things hoped for. What will that change in my life? I'm sure we could take lots of situations. But all of those situations would come back to this, that you are called not to walk by sight today, tomorrow, or in the day to come. You are called to walk by faith. By faith. Yes, there is an answer to every situation, and sometimes, beloved, it may not be the one that you like. But God is God, not you. Resolve to walk by faith. You see, faith, the assurance of things hoped for, faith, the conviction of things not seen, is anchored in Christ. And so our faith must be anchored in Christ, that it may demonstrate the wonder of the gospel. But secondly, I want you to see this morning our faith anchored within community, particularly within Christ's community. Our faith must be anchored within Christ's community. History is our assistance here this morning. Notice, where does the author go when he wants to charge the people to live by faith? Where does he go? He goes to the church, right? He goes to the history of the church. He's already told us not to forsake the assembling together, that looking at the lives of faith around you is important, right? And now he comes and he reminds you that looking at the lives of history of faith are important. That's what the hall of faith is right here. Notice in verse 2, it is a people in community with others that continue on in faith. Verse 2, for by it, the people of old received their commendation. Now that's usually a verse that we just kind of skip on through, right? Not much there, let's get on. Good, this will be a short point, Wade, right? I don't have short points, so we'll just stick there a little bit. By it, the people of old received their commendation. Let me ask you, do you want to be commended before God? Yeah, it's easy to want to be commended before one another, right? I want Alex and Jack to like me. I love it when they pat me on the back and say, hey, that was pretty good, Wade. You know, give me a little. But you know, what's the desire that matters most is the commendation of God, right? To be commended by God. Can you imagine that? That God would commend His people. But there is one thing preeminently that He will commend His people for. It's amazing. If you look throughout this passage, there are those of great faith and of dismal faith. We'll study it as we go through the text here. But it's amazing to me. I don't like when my faith has to be compared to Moses, and Abraham, and Joshua. Then I get down to folks like Rahab and Samson and Jephthah, and I start comparing my personal character to theirs. And never been a prostitute. There's one thing in my favor. But notice you look later in the verse. It is Rahab, by faith, Rahab the prostitute. Okay? God saves people of every circumstance, every situation, so that His grace may be known. But what does He commend in the passage? What does He commend today? It's faith. By faith. Those who were great, those who were dismal, how did they get the commendation of the Lord? By faith. Beloved, we must be a by faith people. And when our hearts struggle with that, we must realize that our Christianity is a community affair. Faith is a community affair. Now, for some of y'all, your ears are ringing like that. Now, that doesn't sound right. Faith is a community affair. Wait, what are you saying? We need one another. I'm not denying the fact of personal faith and the importance of surrender of your life to Christ Jesus. That is of fundamental importance. That's where we started with, anchored in Christ, right? But also anchored in Christ's community, because we need one another. And when your heart is waning in faith, when your heart is struggling with faith, the best thing for you to do is to go back in Scripture and look at the saints of old. I guarantee, maybe not in every detail, but in every principle, every struggle you experience of life is there in Scripture. And you can see how by faith people live with depression. How by faith people live when their integrity is challenged. How by faith people live when they are caught in a sin. How by faith people live in their need of Jesus. Every principle for your life is covered in Scripture. But you know it's covered in community too, isn't it? You know, it's amazing if you will look at our community. There are people from all kinds of walks in life. Young and old, rich and poor, pressed down and at the top of their game. But what binds us together? It is my prayer that the thing that binds us together this morning is that we are a by faith people, walking by faith in the finished work of God in Christ Jesus. By faith. So do you need to know how to deal with the struggle of cancer? There are people here who can help you with that, who've walked that route. You need to have someone help you understand the questions of health, the questions of financial hardship, the questions of heartbreak, the questions of sin that seems to consume you. We have folks here who can help you. Why? Because we're not walking as those who know it all. We're walking as those who walk by faith. trusting in Christ. You know, one of the beauties of being able to work through my fourth year of ministry with you here at Westminster, we're 3-4 months into it. Yeah, I even keep count. Is that what I'm beginning to see is that some of the masks come off. And so that you're allowing me to be a part of those moments in your life where you say, God, it's real hard for me to trust you right now. God, I don't want to trust you. God, you've let me down at the very moment when I need you most. How could you? I know that I'm close to the heart when I'm at that moment with you. Or when you're at that moment with me. And what do I have to give you? What do you have to give me? What do we have to give one another? The testimony of the saints of old in Scripture and the testimony of God's grace together that we must continue by faith. We're not led by our feelings. We're led by the finished work of Christ, the sacrifice of the Savior, the gift of life in Christ that will see us through to the end. But we must continue to live by faith. Our faith anchored in Christ, our faith anchored in community. For it was by faith that those of old were commended. We'll unpack that a little more next week. But thirdly, we must live by faith to the Creator. Notice here in verse 3, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. You know, we come today and one of the chief ways the gospel gets confronted is by attacking creation, right? God didn't make it all. Watch Richard Dawkins. Y'all know who Richard Dawkins is? He must be the most noted atheistic scientist in the world today, at least in the English-speaking world today. Y'all know Richard Dawkins? God, the God delusion. He was, I was watching him on religious TV the other night. I turned into C-SPAN, and there on C-SPAN they had a discussion where he was leading the discussion about why there's no God. He was reading excerpts from his book, The God Delusion, and as he talked, I wanted to listen, because he's a scientist. I wanted to listen for science, and I wanted to listen for faith. And I even jotted down some notes, writing down every belief statement that was stated and every scientific statement that was stated. My contention at the end of his discussion, he's a philosopher, not a scientist. Everything was a statement of belief. And when questioned on a college campus in Lynchburg, Virginia, when questioned, it was amazing. When backed into a corner on his convictions, he would say, "Well, I believe." Why? Because you can't prove evolution by sight. You must prove evolution by belief, right? Beloved, there's one eyewitness to creation. That's it. One eyewitness to creation. No one in this room was an eyewitness to creation. Anybody want to own up? Anybody an eyewitness to creation in this room? There is only one eyewitness to creation. And His name is Yahweh. God of the universe, called by the power of His Word into being all things that are. By faith, we must trust in that Creator. You might say, well, Wade, when the author of Hebrews wrote, he wrote in a pre-modern world. We're modern and postmodern. We know more now. We understand more about creation than they understood in those days. Oh, come on. Everything that is here today was there then. As a matter of fact, the prevalent worldview, the Greek worldview of the day, came from Aristotle. The Aristotelian way of thinking about creation is that nothing comes from nothing. Therefore, the world had to always be. It's the very community that our author is writing in. And what does he say? By faith, we understand that God created by His Word. Now, what possible help could that bring to you today? Because He who controls the origins controls history. And He who controls history controls your life. And He who controls your life has placed you where you are, and He is at work with you now. And you can have hope, beloved. It's not a lost cause. I can't tell you in my ministry how many of people have asked me, how do I find the will of God for my life? Well, start by finding God. And once you have found Him, find where He's at work in your life and join it. And as you look at those things, once you realize that God is involved in the origins, if you can't trust God with the origins of life, you won't be able to trust Him with the end of life. But if you can trust Him with the beginnings, you can truly trust Him with the end. Because God is involved with His people. That's really what stands behind the Genesis account of creation anyway, right? God is involved with all that He has made. And all that He has made for His glory. Understand by faith. You see, faith gives us perception that the natural eyes can't see. I understand why people would struggle with creation. If you struggle with it, don't begrudge you anything at all. I understand why people would struggle with that. It's hard to struggle with things that you didn't see happen. But by faith, the Scriptures tell us that God made it all. Why? So that we would know that God is personal. He is involved with us. He is involved with your life today. All this to come back to the charge that we are to be a by faith people. It was Helen Keller. She wasn't a great theologian, but she certainly was a great model of faith in her life. You know Helen Keller. She was a person who had no communicative ability. She was in the dark. She had no way to speak until by a remarkable set of circumstances, by a remarkable set of conditions, she was brought out of that state. She never heard or saw, but she was allowed to communicate. And her remarkable intellect, her understanding was able to be open to the world. At one point, someone asked her what it was like to not be able to see. And she said, "I see. I see in the dark, you might say. But for me, it is a golden place because I see a God-made world, not a man-made world." It's the effort of the author to bring that to our hearts. Beloved, that we would see this day a God-made world, not a man-made world. And in that world, you can walk by faith. Adoniram Judson was a minister, a missionary of the gospel in Burma 150 years ago. When missionary work was just on the forefront coming out of America and in Europe, he was on the forefront of that work, went to Burma, and for 7 years he labored there in Burma, preaching the gospel, but in 7 years he did not see one convert. Not one person came to Christ. During that 7 years, he began to translate the Word of God from the original text into the Burmese language. And that was seen by the government as something that was negative. And so he became a political outcast and they put him in prison. They imprisoned him for translating the Bible. He was in a tiny cell that had one small hole, one small window to the outside world. And every day, his wife would bring him food so that he could eat. His wife, Anna, would bring him food and give him food. And after several months of being in prison, she came to him and she gave him his food for the day. And she said to him, "Someone from England has written a letter and they ask what we need. They will send us what we need. What would you say? What would you like them to send us, honey?" He thought for a few moments and he said, "Have them send us a communion set." Not one convert yet. Still working on translating the Bible. Not one. And what did he ask for? By faith, he could see the day when many would worship at Jesus' feet, commemorate and celebrate by faith the very work of Christ. You know, today, out of the work that he did, the ripples of a by faith man have come forward. You know, about 1 million or so in 150 years by faith have received Christ. The by faith life, it's how we make it through the world, and it's how God instructs us to live that others may make it through the world. Beloved, let us be a by faith people. Faith is essential. It is necessary. And it's God's gift to you this day. Let's live by faith. Pray with me. Father, we thank You that You have called us to live by faith. We acknowledge that it would be much easier to live by sight, but we know that it glorifies You when we walk in faith. So this day, this week, this year, Father, lead us forth as a people of faith. For Your glory we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.